ever have happened in my day, no. The women stayed at home and took care of their mates. If I did go out, my Arthur came with me.
Taryn just smiled. Well, I suppose it was better that you didn't venture out alone in case a T-Rex got a hold of you, huh? The muffled laughs coming from some of the pack had Greta growling.
I'll never know what he sees in you. Selma's so much prettier.
More laughing from some of the pack, as it was well known that Greta disliked Selma even more than she did Taryn. Even Selma herself looked surprised.
Such beautiful long hair, not like yours.
Speaking of hair, your mustache needs a trim. That shut Greta up, and the conversation turned to lighter, general things. Although Taryn chatted away to the others, it was forever on her mind that Trey was outside somewhere hungry, pissed, and unable to calm himself. She knew this because she could feel it through their mating link, but she could also feel that he wanted to be alone. So she didn't do what she wanted to do, track him down and force some food down his throat. Instead, she watched some TV with the others, hoping that Trey might turn up at some point. Unfortunately, it had been a hopeless point. She rose from her seat on the sofa. I'm heading to bed. Can't stay awake any longer. Good night. She had only taken two steps toward the door when Dominic called her name. She turned and raised a brow questioningly. He motioned with one finger to her to go where he was on the end of the chaise. Rolling her eyes, she walked over and sighed. He smiled.
I just made you come with one finger. Imagine what I could do with my whole hand.
Everyone groaned.
What? That was a good one.
Shaking her head and chuckling, Taryn left the room and was making her way through the tunnels when Tao suddenly caught up with her.
Taryn? I just wondered if we could talk for a minute. Here, alone.
Surprised that he had gone out of his way to speak to her, when usually he only did if she asked him a question, she shrugged. Sure. What's up? For a minute, he didn't say anything, just fidgeted and ran a hand through his hair and repeatedly cleared his throat.
I'm sorry, he finally burst out. You've no idea how sorry I am.
For what?
Maybe if I hadn't been such an idiot, I still would have been your bodyguard, and then I'd have been there today and—
No, Tao, don't do that. Don't even think like that. The second I officially became the alpha female of the pack, I would have insisted on not having a bodyguard. I know some alpha pairs have them, but Trey doesn't, and it would have made me look weak to have a bodyguard when he didn't. He nodded a little.
I'm still sorry. I've been an ass, and I know it. Look, I'd really like it if we could be friends again. I get that you're with Trey. I look at you both now, and you make sense. If that makes sense. You suit each other. The jealousy, it isn't there anymore. You're my alpha female, and I respect that. And I'd really like it if we could go back to being friends.
Pleasantly shocked, she smiled. I'd like that. Good night. Feeling a little lighter, she made her way to her room. Once she had taken a quick shower, being sure to wash away the scents of the strange males, she threw on one of Trey's old t-shirts and hopped into bed. She had planned to lie awake so that they could talk when he finally joined her, but she must have nodded off at some point because she woke abruptly sometime later to a light touch on the tiny wound on her forehead. Opening her eyes, she saw Trey sitting beside her, his back against the headboard and his legs crossed at the ankles.
"Hey there, Flintstone," she said in a voice gone husky from sleep.
"Sorry. Didn't mean to wake you."
Even if she hadn't been able to feel it through their link, the deep crease between his eyebrows would have told her that he was still pretty pissed.
"You know I was right, Trey," she said in a low voice.
He turned his head away and sighed.
"I know. It doesn't mean I have to like it."
"And stop torturing yourself about not having been there."
"I'm your mate, Taryn. It's my job to protect you."
"I was the one who insisted you didn't come with me."
"Something that won't be happening again," he reminded her.
She drew circles on his bicep with her fingertip as she asked,
"Does that mean you're done now?"
"With what?"
"Sulking." One brow lifted.
"Sulking?"
"Yeah." She climbed onto his lap and straddled him.
sulking because you can't go kill the sly wolf. He ordered an attack on you, Taryn. He wanted the shit knocked out of you. If he knew Daryl like he thought he did, then the asshole would have ordered that she be sexually assaulted and then beaten almost to death. Assurance that Trey would come for him. The drive to do just that was still hounding both him and his wolf. Moreover, he had the painful knowledge that someone within his pack had betrayed them. She massaged his shoulders and brushed his nose with hers.
Daryl didn't get what he wanted, though. I'm fine.
The way she said it, as though that made everything okay, had Trey shaking his head incredulously. She thought that what he'd been doing all this time was pouting about not getting his revenge and torturing himself about not having protected her. If she had looked deeper, she would have seen what was tormenting him most, would have known that the terror he had experienced earlier on hearing she was being attacked was still coursing through his veins. He had envisioned all kinds of fucked-up scenarios as he drove like a crazy person to get to her, had imagined finally arriving only to find her dead. Her strong personality always made her seem inches taller than she was, but in reality, she was just a tiny little thing, so easily breakable. He could snap her neck right now with minimal effort. And those wolves who tried to attack her could have done the same, even if they hadn't meant to. Trey took her face in his hands, fighting to keep his touch gentle while anger and fear was still stabbing at him.
You just don't get it, do you? You have no idea how important you are to me. I need you to be okay, Taryn. I can't be without you. You have to be here and okay, or I won't be able to fucking function.
Taryn doubted he could have known how much those words meant to her, especially when she knew just how hard he found it to articulate himself like that. Even now, he looked as though he wasn't sure if what he'd said had made any sense. She could feel his need to assure himself that she was with him, safe and alive, in the most basic way, by possessing her body. He was restraining himself, though, because he didn't trust that he wouldn't hurt her while his blood was still boiling. Well, then, she'd provide him with the assurance he needed, if he wasn't going to take it for himself. Leaning forward, Taryn licked along the seam of his lips, wanting admission, as she raked her claws down his chest. Not enough to tear his t-shirt, but enough that it sent a shudder through him.
Kiss me.
Sliding one hand to her nape, he gave her what she wanted, possessing her mouth, owning it. She ground herself against his cock, and he groaned into her mouth, but then he tore his lips away.
Baby, not tonight.
Shit, he deserved a medal for holding back. Knowing that she was naked beneath his old t-shirt was killing him. He could smell her arousal, knew she was wet and primed for him.
My head's not in a good place. Shh, I'm too wound up. I said, shh.
She took his arms and draped them over the headboard.
Keep them there.
There was an edge of dominance to her tone that he hadn't heard before. It intrigued his wolf. Trey narrowed his eyes and went to question her, but she raised a brow and shook her head. Then, surprising the hell out of him, she tore the t-shirt he was wearing right down the middle. He might have made a comment about it if she hadn't then swirled her tongue in the hollow of his throat and sucked at the patch of skin the way he liked. She explored his chest with her lips and tongue, occasionally using teeth. He loved those little bites she did, loved that she had the urge to leave marks of possession on his body. He hadn't realized his eyes had drifted shut, until she tackled the buttons of his fly and his lids flipped open.
Taryn,
didn't I tell you to shush?
She said, sitting up again and straddling his thighs. She was pretty sure he would have snapped at her for that comment if she hadn't curled her hand around the base of his cock. She stroked upward and ran her thumb over the silky head, sweeping up the pearl of pre-cum there. Holding his eyes, she brought her thumb to her mouth and sucked it clean, smiling as he groaned. Trey's entire body clenched as she began working her soft little hand up and down his length, her eyes never leaving his.
Taryn, I'm not in the mood to be teased.
Are you in the mood to be sucked off?
She smiled inwardly as shock stiffened his body while his dick jerked in her hand, because that's what I have every intention of doing. Leaning forward, she asked against his lips in a wickedly submissive tone,
Can I suck your cock, please?
You're a witch.
For so long he'd dreamed of this, but he wasn't sure that now was the time.
Be certain you want to do this, Taryn. I'm not in control, baby. I'm not going to be able to keep my hands up here and just let you play.
I'm certain. He bit her bottom lip hard.
Then suck that cock until I tell you to stop.
Yes, sir, said Taryn in a mockingly submissive tone, but he still growled in approval. Again, she kissed and nipped his chest as she crawled backward until she was settled between the invitation of his slightly spread thighs. He hissed as she ran her tongue along his cock from base to tip, lapping up the drop of pre-cum from the slit. Several times she licked his length, laving it and teasing him in the process until he bucked slightly, hinting for more. Smiling, she swirled her tongue around the head and took him into her mouth. Trey shuddered and groaned as she sucked hard on the head of his cock, flicking the sensitive part underneath with the tip of her tongue. Then she took more of him, swallowing, and the feel of her throat constricting around him had him groaning again.
Oh, yeah, suck it. Like that, baby, yes, take more. Fuck.
Each time she took him deeper, sucking so hard her cheeks hollowed. Then she was doing some wicked thing with her tongue, swirling it around his cock before grazing him with her teeth. Better than all of that, Trey could feel that she was enjoying pleasuring him like this. Knowing that, he couldn't stay still any longer. He tangled a hand in her hair and began pumping his hips, fucking her mouth. But she didn't fight him. Instead, she began playing with his balls and making moaning sounds in the back of her throat that were eating at what little control he had. So many times he'd imagined this, imagined her deep-throating him and then swallowing his cum. But right now, the desire to come in her mouth was being overruled by the need to have her come apart around his cock. Another need was eating at him, the need to take, to dominate, to remind her that she belonged to him. Both needs were so violent that he was scared he'd hurt her. Even now, his hold on her hair had to be causing her some pain. Although he stopped fucking her mouth, he couldn't make himself totally release her.
Taryn, tell me I'm hurting you. Tell me you need me to stay in control.
She shook her head. I like it when you're out of control.
Not like this, baby. You don't want me like this. Tell me to ease off.
Why would I do that? I don't want you being someone you're not. With that, his last thread of control snapped and lust hazed his brain. He tightened his grip on her hair, yanked her upright, and then plunged a finger inside her. Her muscles gripped it tight, and moisture swamped his finger.
So wet. I think my little bitch got off on sucking my cock. Did you, baby?
She only nodded.
I can't hear you.
Yes. Trey withdrew his finger and sucked it clean, groaning at her taste. He roughly dragged her to him and gathered up the t-shirt she was wearing and pushed it up and over her head. Then he was shaping her body with his hands, thumbing her taut nipples and pinching them hard. She jerked when he stabbed two fingers inside her and flicked her clit with his thumb. A hint of the pleasure she was feeling reached him through their bond. Snaking his free hand around her throat in a possessive grip, he growled harshly.
Who was this pussy made for, Taryn, huh? Tell me who.
Instinctively, Taryn wanted to fight his dominance, but the look in his eyes stopped her. It wasn't just the determined, demanding glint there, but the lingering anxiety she had sensed earlier. Taryn knew that with an alpha for a mate, there were times to push and times to submit. Right now, Trey needed the latter. Something had happened today that left him feeling helpless, left him feeling out of control. She needed to give that control back to him, even if it meant squashing her instincts to fight him. It wasn't hard to do when his dominant vibes were clogging the air and quashing her own, impressing her wolf. As Trey felt the defiance leave her body and watched her go slightly slack in his hold, he groaned. There was nothing sexier to him or his wolf than Taryn submitting to him.
Tell me who, he repeated.
You, she finally replied in a moan as he thrust his fingers deeper.
That's my good girl. One day I'm going to tie you up while I fuck you. I'm going to have my gorgeous, dominant mate all tied up for me.
No way,
She ignored that the idea excited her, not wanting to acknowledge that apparently she had a tiny submissive streak.
That's where I draw the line.
He tisked, withdrew his fingers, and slapped her clit with his cock.
There are no lines, baby. You belong to me. I own this body. I can do whatever I want with it. I can use it however I want. Right now, I want you to ride me.
He positioned his cock at her entrance, and she placed her hands on his shoulders as she began to slowly sink down onto him.
You like that, baby? You like my cock filling you and stretching you?
Yes.
She bore down harder, wanting those last few inches.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Take all of it.
Finally, he was buried balls deep inside her, and he groaned as her muscles tightened around him. As she took a minute to adjust, he licked and raked his teeth over his mark until she was moaning and squirming. With one hand collaring her neck, Trey slowly guided her body upward, loving how she didn't fight him, but gave him complete control. Then, just as slowly, he impaled her on himself again. He knew his Taryn, knew how she loved it hard, so he teasingly kept the movements agonizingly slow and gentle as he impaled her on himself over and over. Soon enough, she was squirming again.
What's the matter, baby? You want more?
She nodded.
Then take it.
So wound up with the need to come, Taryn didn't hesitate. She began riding him hard and fast like a woman possessed, oddly liking the friction from the denim of his jeans against her ass. There was just something about fucking a guy when she was totally naked and he was still partially dressed that got Taryn going. She probably shouldn't have enjoyed the way he was gripping her throat, but she did. It was possessive and dominant, and a reminder of how much stronger he was, how easily he could hurt her, but that he never would. Sparks of bliss were shooting through Trey's body with each of her downward thrusts. He had to wonder if she'd taken horse riding lessons growing up because, shit, she had some strength in those thighs and abs. He tugged her face closer and closed his mouth over hers, kissing her with a desperate hunger that matched her pace. He swallowed every moan, groan, and whimper she made, eager for more. Knowing what she liked, he used his free hand to tweak and pluck at her hard nipples and to mold and squeeze those breasts that were bouncing as she rode him, drawing his gaze.
Trey, I need to come.
No, you don't get to come until I say.
He wasn't ready to leave her body yet.
Do you have any idea how hot it was having you suck my cock? How long I've imagined you doing that? Since the day I had you drugged and brought here, you've been mine since that day, Taryn. You always will be. Do you hear me?
She nodded.
Nothing can ever happen to you. Nothing, understand?
He'd never get through it if he lost her. Never. The anxiety in his voice tugged at her heart.
It's okay. I'm fine. Fine. Here. Yours.
A growl escaped his lips.
Always mine. Say it.
Always yours.
Louder.
Always yours.
Good girl.
With a hand clasping her throat, he urged her to go faster as he began punching his hips up to meet her downward thrusts.
Bite me.
He groaned and shuddered as she bit his chest, sucking and branding him.
I love it when you mark me.
He moved his hand from her throat to her hair and snatched her head back as he began punching his hips harder.
Come. Now.
He sank his teeth into her neck and slipped his thumb between them to circle her clit. Just like that, she shattered. An intensely powerful orgasm ripped through Taryn, wrenching a scream from her lungs. Her muscles closed around his cock and he punched into her one final time, growling her name. As his own release hit, and his cock pulsed deep inside her. Totally replete, she collapsed against him, gasping for breath. He held her close as the aftershocks racked their bodies. It was a hold so tight that it was almost desperate.
I'm not going anywhere, Trey,
she assured him softly.
He grunted.
You say that as if you have a choice.
Ass,
she chuckled.
I mean it, Taryn. I won't ever let you leave. I'll never give you up. I'll never let anyone take you from me.
She lifted her head and smiled at him.
Then it's a good thing I'm planning on staying. The sight of her warm, reassuring smile triggered another of those strange pangs in his chest. Trey meshed his lips to hers, indulging in a long, thorough tasting of her mouth. Then, content, he nuzzled her neck and breathed in deep, and froze.
What's wrong?
You smell different.
What? How?
Our scents. They've mixed.
A smug grin spread across his face.
It's the mating bond. It's advancing.
That meant that whatever it was they were doing it right. It also meant that any shifter who picked up her scent would know she was a mated female before even seeing her mark, or marks. Although she rolled her eyes at his self-satisfaction, he could feel that she too was glad about it, and liked the knowledge that it would instantly be clear to everyone that he was taken. He also felt her concern that maybe this was the most they would have, that the bond would never be complete, because they might never feel they could be totally naked to each other. What caused him the most unease was that beneath all that was her fear that he might never come to feel for her what she felt for him, that she would forever be in a mating with someone who couldn't love her. It made Trey want to kick his own ass. He wondered if she was able to sense just how much he wished he could give her those words she wanted. It amazed him how there could be so much power in three little words. To him, they didn't have any true meaning or hold the same power, because they had never been part of his vocabulary. It wouldn't have been any different than someone reciting an unfamiliar Japanese phrase and expecting him not to only repeat it, but also to understand what it meant. His mom had been a good mother, but she hadn't been what anyone might call tender or loving. His dad had been far from it. Even Greta, the person who had played the most part in his upbringing, had never used those words, though he believed she cared for him. Trey knew, though, that even if he had heard the words every day of his life, there was still a possibility he couldn't have repeated them to Taryn. Considering the things he had done in his life and how fucked up his conscience was, it was possible that love wasn't something a person like him could feel, that it was reserved for good people like Taryn. It made him wish that he were a better person. There was no denying that Taryn deserved a better mate. Even with that in mind, though, he couldn't give her up. Wouldn't. He hadn't thought of his life as something that was dark or empty until she came here and suddenly lit it up and filled it. Even when he had been doing his level best to avoid her, he had been simultaneously drinking in her presence in his life. It pained both him and his wolf that he couldn't give her, his mate, what she needed. What he did know was that if it were possible for someone like him to experience an emotion so strong, then Trey would feel it for Taryn. Chapter 15.
So, who do we think the informant is?
Everyone at the patio table looked at Dante, but no one answered him. No one wanted to actually face the fact that one of their own had betrayed them. Trey had secretly arranged for him, Taryn, Dante, and his enforcers to meet at the lake this morning to discuss the issue in private. As sad as it was, he felt that these were the only members of his pack he could truly trust. Well, them and Greta. However, he didn't trust Greta to keep the issue of the informant to herself. She would most likely begin confronting and interrogating everyone, and he didn't want the informant to know that they were aware of his betrayal yet. Taryn very much doubted that Daryl's two thugs would own up to him that they'd told her about the informant. So, if Trey played dumb, they might just get to the bottom of the matter before anything else happened.
Personally, I don't think it's a stretch to conclude that it's the same person who vandalized Taryn's car, killed the bird, and left her with that bump a few weeks back. Tao shrugged. And we need to look at people who aren't particularly happy about her being here,
said Trick, around a mouthful of chewing gum.
Most of us weren't happy at the beginning, including me,
Dominic admitted, before offering her an apologetic smile, a smile that quickly turned impish, warning her of what was to come.
Of course I love you now. If I had a star for every time you brightened my day, I'd have a galaxy in my hand.
As usual, some groaned, some chuckled, and Trey hit him. Taryn shook her head. You just can't help yourself, can you? Dominic winked.
Getting back to the shitty subject at hand, the obvious suspects would be Selma and Hope, said Trey, massaging Taryn's nape. Although I think Hope would have only have been involved if Selma was.
Tao cocked his head.
What about Kirk? He's sure pissed about her being here.
I don't get why he's so hateful about it, though, said Taryn. I mean, I know he doesn't like me, but if he is responsible for all this, then it seems a bit of an overreaction to disliking me.
Kirk's always been hateful. He has issues. Mommy issues.
Care to elaborate? It was Marcus who explained.
His mom was human. She wasn't Brock's true mate. Apparently, Brock found his true mate, but she was already shacked up with another guy. He got involved with this human female, not telling her he was a shifter. When she realized what Brock was and that their son was half-shifter, she freaked and deserted them both. Kirk was only a toddler at the time.
Taryn couldn't help feeling a pang of sympathy for both Kirk and Brock. There's always the senile old crone, she said with a smile.
Greta might call you every name under the blue moon, baby, but I know for sure she likes you in her own way, Trey assured her.
She snorted.
If you say so, maybe it's not about someone liking or disliking me.
What do you mean?
Well, if we're assuming that the informant has been in contact with Daryl from the beginning, we have to assume that they told him our mating was all about a deal to get you plenty of alliances. Daryl wouldn't have liked that, so he would have wanted me out of the equation. A good way to do that would be trying to make me feel unwelcome, damaging my car, killing my raven. Marcus nodded a few times.
If you think about it, it wasn't until you both discovered that you were true mates that anyone tried to actually hurt you.
It would make sense for him to want you hurt, as is evident from last night, said Ryan.
A shifter whose mate is hurting isn't in the best frame of mind, and it would make you, Trey, more easily provoked into breaking the agreement with Daryl.
Trey wanted to punch something. The betrayal cut deeper than he would have thought possible. Apparently, he wasn't as guarded as he'd always thought himself to be, or maybe his mating with Taryn had changed that.
Why would someone help Daryl? What could they possibly gain from it? If they weren't happy here and wanted to join his pack, they could have left. I wouldn't have stopped them. What they've done is punishable by death.
And the question is, began Trick, who would be prepared to take that risk?
After a long silence, Trey sighed and got to his feet.
I need to go for a run. My wolf's restless and pissed, and I can't think straight when he's fighting for supremacy so hard.
Tao shrugged.
Then let's all go for a run together.
Trey held out his hand to Taryn.
Come on, baby.
Many days a week, she and Trey would go play in the forest while he was in Cujo form, and then lie near the lake while she read the newspaper, all the while running her fingers through his coarse fur. Occasionally, some of the pack would join in their play, in their wolf forms, and then collapse beside her in Cujo, enjoying the close contact with their alpha pair. Taryn wouldn't have thought such a thing could be peaceful. She was drained, dirty, and currently had 7 wolves all pressed against her. But always there was that sense of peace, belonging, and family. She could only assume that the wolves felt it too, as they always seemed content just to laze there, all sprawled out with their eyes closed and their breathing even. So when each one of them suddenly jerked upright and went on the alert, Taryn knew something had to be wrong. She thought of the male wolves who had attacked her the day before, wondering if they would be dumb enough to try to creep around Phoenix Pack territory to finish the job they had barely begun. There was no question that they would be dumb enough, but the wolves didn't dart off in various directions to hunt down any intruders, as she would have thought. They remained there, crowding her, protecting her. A howl in the distance received an immediate response from the wolves around her. It was a familiar howl. Kirk, she thought. The wolves all seemed to relax slightly, as if the possibility of danger no longer worried them, but they didn't seem happy, and Cujo was emitting a low growl. Before Taryn could think on it any further, there was the sound of a car approaching. She attempted to stand and see whom the car belonged to.
But Cujo growled and licked her jaw, and she got the distinct impression that he wanted her to remain where she was. Soon there were footsteps, and the sound of Greta speaking ever so sweetly. Voices, familiar voices, responded just as pleasantly so that everything made perfect sense. A minute later, three male wolf shifters appeared with Greta. Instantly, Cujo was on his feet, his attention solely on the male in front, but he didn't move from Taryn's side. Taryn groaned and shot Greta, who was smirking mischievously, an accusatory look. You knew he was in his wolf form. It didn't bother you that he might have attacked my uncle? Taryn had forgotten all about their visit. Greta huffed. After the things he said to my grandson, no. I hope Trey rips out his throat. She snarled at Don, Nick, and another male wolf, all of whom were staring at the old woman in amazement as she made the transformation from gracious, welcoming host to an agent of the Axis of Evil. Oh, she knew how to play the frail, saintly old woman. Taryn sat up and wrapped her arms around the neck of a growling Cujo, who clearly remembered Don and was in an overly crazy protective state after being attacked. Her own wolf wasn't too happy to see him either. Trey, she whispered into the wolf's ear, knowing Trey would be aware of what was happening and would hear her. I need you to come back to me now. Unfortunately, Cujo wasn't in any rush to retreat and let his human half have control. Had she recalled arranging her uncle's visit, she would have postponed it for another time. Too late now. Looking up at Don, she said, If you could all just take a seat over there at the patio table, we'll be over in a sec. Turning to the six wolves around her, she ordered, Change. Not looking all that happy about it, they shifted back to their human forms and, not moving their gazes from their visitors, each retrieved his jeans and t-shirt from the ones that were scattered around. Dante then brought over Trey's clothes and handed them to her. Focusing back on Cujo, she whispered, Come on, Trey. Come back. Seconds later, the change began, and Trey sat in front of her, his gaze still drilling into her uncle. She handed him his clothes, and without a word, he stood and pulled them on. Obviously sensing the precariousness of the situation, each of the visitors had his head lowered slightly, communicating that they had no intention of challenging him, that they were no threat. Once Trey was dressed, he held his hand out to Taryn and gently pulled her to her feet. He kissed her softly, letting her touch and closeness reassure his wolf. Never had his wolf liked strange wolves around his mate. Hell, he'd never liked any males around her. But as their mating bond hadn't fully clicked into place, his wolf was even worse. The fact that she had been attacked yesterday and that one of the males here had once wanted to take her from him worsened his mood. Okay? She asked, combing her fingers through his hair. He nodded and nipped at her mouth.
Just stay close.
If his wolf felt confident that Taryn was nearby, safe and protected, they might just get through this without him going for Don's throat. As Trey and Taryn approached the patio table, the visitors lifted their heads to reveal nervous expressions. Trey gave them a nod of greeting and took a seat opposite them, pulling Taryn onto his lap. She snuggled into him the way he liked. Dante and Tao took seats on either side of him and Taryn. He knew, without looking, that both their gazes were on a gulping Don. Nick broke the silence.
Thank you for granting us permission to visit. You already know Don. He gestured to the stocky wolf on his right, who was stroking his goatee, is my bodyguard, Darren. I asked my beta and my enforcers to remain in the car.
Well, that had been wise of him. If Nick had arrived at the lake surrounded by a large number of strange wolves, Cujo would have pounced on them without a doubt. Trey nodded curtly.
On my left is Tao, my head enforcer. On my right is Dante, my beta. Behind us are Trick, Marcus, Dominic, and Ryan. And you've met my grandmother, Greta.
Nick smiled.
Yes, she's, charming. She has good reason to be unhappy to see us.
Don cleared his throat.
Yes, I realize I was very rude at the mating ceremony, and, well, I made judgments about you based on what I'd heard from others. It's simply that...
No, interrupted Taryn.
There are no excuses. An apology we can work with. Excuses? Hell no.
Fair enough.
Hearing her defend him again caused another pang in Trey's chest. Massaging her nape, he said,
That's not to say you weren't right about me. I'm not a good person. If I thought someone deserved it, I'd kill them without blinking, and I'd think nothing of it. I am, by my own admission, a hard, selfish, ruthless bastard. There's only one person in this world who's guaranteed to come to no harm from me, and that's Taryn.
After a moment of silence, Dawn nodded once.
Dominic?
Drawled Taryn in her sweetest voice. Is there any chance you could go ask Grace to fix us all some coffees? With the offer of hospitality, the visitors visibly seemed to relax and Dawn exhaled a sigh of relief, probably relieved that he was still alive.
How have you been, Taryn?
Fine, thanks, she practically purred.
She loved it when Trey kneaded her nape, even though she knew he was mainly doing it to take comfort in touching her. Her wolf was just as contented.
How are the pups?
Still little beasts. They wanted to come and see you, but, well...
But, well, Dawn wasn't sure if things would be amicable or if Nick would be scooping him from the floor with a spoon.
Next time, make sure you bring them.
Dawn smiled a little as he asked hopefully,
There'll be a next time?
If you're good.
She doesn't give an inch, does she?
He said to Trey. Trey smiled down at his mate.
I kind of like that about her.
Greta harumped, hands on hips.
Dante! Shove over, son.
Grinning in amusement, Dante shuffled along to the next chair so that she could take his. Her posture was both regal and confrontational. Nick folded his arms across his chest, but not in a manner that was confrontational.
Well, I hope, in spite of what happened, you enjoyed the mating ceremony.
It was real nice, said Taryn. It's been a while since I went to one.
You and Trey haven't had one?
Asked Dawn, surprised. Not liking this subject, because she knew full well that Trey wouldn't want one, she simply gave her uncle a bored look and a dismissive wave of the hand.
You're not one of those who dreamed about it all your life? Wow, my Anna already has hers planned and she hasn't even found her mate yet. Not to mention she's only 7.
Dawn turned to Trey.
What about you, Trey? Don't you want a mating ceremony?
Being the least romantic person alive, Trey hadn't even thought about it before now. He'd never even wondered if Taryn would want something like that, which she did, and she didn't. He couldn't sense any more than that, so he wasn't sure what was behind her indecision. But it was something they would definitely be discussing in private. He just shrugged.
If Taryn wants one, we'll have one. If she doesn't, we won't.
Nick tutted.
You don't want to be giving your mate her own way all the time.
Yes, he does.
Taryn stated. Greta huffed at Taryn.
In my day, mates weren't allowed to live together until after the mating ceremony.
In your day, a guy named Noah was building an ark.
And they had more self-control than to fornicate 23 hours of every day.
Greta didn't enunciate the word fornicate properly, as though she thought even talking about it was immoral and would get her sent straight to hell. There's nothing depraved about sex. Of course, with a little creativity, some toys, and a whole lot of dirty talk, you can change that. Trey laughed into Taryn's hair as he saw the horrified look on his grandmother's face. God, he really did love his mate Spunk. Greta looked at him expectantly, obviously wanting him to berate Taryn for talking to her about, heaven forbid, intimate relations. Although shifters were easy about sex, Greta had always been, as his mate often called her, a prude. It was obvious, however, that the real reason she was berating Taryn was because she got a kick from it, and that was why Trey would never interfere on Greta's behalf. Well, that, and the fact that he liked sex with Taryn too much to risk angering her.
You shouldn't be using that word in front of your own uncle, chastised Greta.
Taryn played dumb.
What?
Oh! You mean sex?
Well, I suppose there are other terms I could use. Trey likes to call it burying the bishop, but I prefer hiding Pedro.
Enough, enough, enough,
insisted Greta, but she was barely audible over the laughter that spread around the table.
So sorry.
My halo slipped for a second there.
Conversation seemed to flow a lot easier after that. However, even though the atmosphere became more relaxed, Trey still had to concentrate hard on keeping his wolf suppressed. Although Don had apologized, that didn't matter to his wolf, nor had he been satisfied by Don's submissive behavior. His wolf didn't want his submission. He wanted Don to challenge him so he could attack and rip his throat out. Maybe he wouldn't have been as overprotective and prickly if Taren hadn't been attacked only yesterday, or maybe he would always be that way where his mate was concerned. Sensing that Trey's wolf was far from at ease, Taren snuggled deeper into Trey's arms and began to pat his chest softly, scratching him lightly with her nails through his t-shirt. A growl of contentment rumbled up his chest, and he curled his arm tight around her. They sat that way for the next few hours, chatting and laughing with everyone. Dawn and Taren even did a little reminiscing, talking about her mom, and sharing some of the many stories that perfectly demonstrated just how dizzy the woman had actually been. Even Greta had laughed. It was because the atmosphere was so cheery and relaxed that Taren sensed the change the second it happened.
"What is it?" she asked Trey, who was speaking to Kirk, who was on guard duty, on his cell.
"What?"
he snapped into the cell.
"I'll be right there."
Flipping his cell closed, he stood upright and then placed her on the chair.
"Stay here, Taren."
"What? Why?"
"Baby, just stay here for me."
He didn't say please, but Taren heard it in his tone. If he was so wary about a situation that he was pleading with her as opposed to barking at her,
it couldn't be good.
She nodded once, and he kissed her quickly before disappearing into the forest. Dante and the enforcers followed him.
"What's going on?"
asked Greta. "No idea."
Nick's alpha instincts kicked in, and he straightened in his seat.
"Maybe Don, Darren, and I should go see if..."
"No. When Trey's wolf goes on high alert, he sees anyone outside his pack as intruders. He'll just think of your behavior as interference." Greta huffed.
"So what, we just sit here while there's obviously trouble going on?"
"I didn't say that."
Taren stood and pointed hard at the others.
"Stay here."
Of course they didn't, and she wasn't exactly in a position to preach at them. Taking the same route Trey had, she traipsed through the forest toward the front gate. As she stepped out of the trees near the security shack, two things made her halt. One, there was a group of approximately 10 people, all wolf shifters, her nose told her, standing near the front gate. Two, although the gate had been opened to allow them through, Trey and the guys had formed a protective wall in front of the shack, a warning that newcomers weren't to move any farther. Despite there being only 8 Phoenix Pack wolves, it was a pretty impressive and intimidating display, and it was working. The eyes of every stranger moved to Taren, scrutinizing her intently. There was nothing confrontational in their posture or manner, but that didn't ease her tension.
"Who are these people?"
Trey replied without turning his head, not wanting to move his gaze from the wolves in front of him. He wasn't one little bit surprised that Taren had disobeyed his order. It wasn't in her nature to sit around twiddling her thumbs when there was trouble, just as it wasn't in his.
"These are some of the wolves from my old pack."
He felt her confusion, knew she was wondering why he wouldn't be at least a little glad to see them. Simple. He didn't trust anyone from his old pack around her right now. For all Trey knew, in spite of what they said, they were in league with Daryl. Even his wolf, who recognized their scent, wasn't comfortable with their presence at all. When Taren came to stand beside him, he lifted his arm to create a barrier, wanting her to remain slightly behind him.
"Apparently, they're here to see you."
Taren frowned, both at his words and how he seemed to be shielding her. Only the fact that she could sense his distrust and apprehension kept her from stepping around his arm. It wouldn't be a good idea to distract him if he truly had a good reason to be suspicious.
"Why is that?"
"This is your mate?"
asked a tall male, who Taren thought had a slight resemblance to Ryan, in an extremely deep voice. She had to roll her eyes at the surprise in his tone. Okay, so she was small and Trey was big. It wasn't that odd a match. Trey responded with a curt nod.
"But I thought healers couldn't heal themselves."
Disliking that he wasn't addressing her directly, as though she didn't count, Taren answered. "They can't.
I don't understand. You look fine.
Why wouldn't I?
Trey explained.
It would seem that Martin overheard Daryl talking to the wolves who attempted to attack you yesterday. Everyone you see here knows Daryl ordered it done. What they don't know is that the wolves were lying their asses off when they assured Daryl that you were in a bad physical state.
So the guys who interfered in the attack stopped it before it even started,
presumed Martin. Taryn frowned. What guys? A smile curved Trey's mouth.
The ones who supposedly stumbled upon you being attacked and kicked the wolves' asses.
She laughed.
I can't say I blame them for that sweet little lie.
Martin's brows pulled together.
Then who was responsible for their injuries?
Oh, that would be Taryn,
replied Dante, his pride in his alpha female clear in his voice and his grin. The other males wore similar smiles of pride. A curvaceous peroxide blonde female, who Taryn noticed was eyeing up Trey like he was a snack, snickered.
She did it? Her?
Her voice rang with skepticism. Taryn felt a spike of anger.
Her is standing right here and is alpha female of this pack. I'm also very, very close to wiping the floor with your face for ogling my mate. Would you like that?
Trey doubted that he would ever find it any less amusing to watch the shock on people's faces when this little mate let her bitchy attitude come out to play. Quickly, the blonde averted her gaze and edged closer to Martin. Each of the wolves of Trey's old pack once again appraised his mate. Seeing not the delicate tiny female, she appeared to be at first glance but the tough, strong, powerful alpha that she truly was.
Well, well, well. This is quite a turnout.
Greta came to stand beside Taryn, her arms folded and her expression judgmental and suspicious. Don, Nick, and Darren were now behind them.
Shame none of you bothered to visit us sooner, like 15 years ago when a teenage boy was banished instead of being given his place as alpha.
Some of the wolves looked a little shame-faced, but not enough to satisfy Taryn. A male, who was basically an ancient version of Cam, stepped forward, staring at Greta adoringly. Taryn smiled, brows raised as the old woman blushed.
You look well, Greta. We just wanted you all to know that it wasn't the pack as a unit acting against you or your mate, Trey. Not all of us agree with Daryl's challenge. Of course, we'd love for the pack to be whole again, but not for it to happen like this.
A roundish, graying woman spoke in a placatory tone.
We might not have been much help to you all those years ago, but we wouldn't wish you harm.
Her gaze settled on Dominic.
I certainly wouldn't want anything for my nephew other than happiness.
The other wolves here, including Trick's parents, who were staring at their son with glittering eyes, nodded in agreement. Trey was surprised to see them, given that they had been loud supporters of his banishment, an attitude that had backfired when their son left along with him. Even with their seemingly harmless behavior, however, neither he nor his wolf was happy about them being around Taryn.
Well, you've seen that she's alive and well. Now you can go.
Dante's older brother Josh, who ironically was much smaller than Dante, spoke up.
I was sort of hoping I could talk to my bro, you know. It's been a while. Whose fault is that?
Said Dante, sounding deceptively aloof. Trey looked at Josh incredulously.
You don't honestly think I'll allow anyone from the Bjorn pack near Taryn after what happened yesterday, do you?
Trey, come on, man. You can't think we'd hurt your mate.
I take it that red-headed female you're holding is your mate?
Josh nodded.
Yeah, we made it a few months ago.
Then you should have a pretty good idea of how I'm feeling right about now.
None of the wolves you see here would hurt her, Trey,
Martin vowed.
I won't take chances where my mate's concerned. Her safety is my first priority, and right now my intention is to be more vigilant than ever. Fortunately, Daryl greatly underestimated Taryn, and she was unharmed despite his efforts. If there's a next time, he won't underestimate her, and I don't intend for there to be a next time.
Trey?
It was spoken in a low, gentle, appealing tone by a very thin, dark, middle-aged woman who was gazing at him in a motherly way, surprising Taryn.
I can understand you being a little surprised by us showing up like this, but you know that I'd never do anything that would hurt you or yours. You trust that, don't you?
It was clear to Taryn that the woman was very much expecting the answer to be yes, and she wondered why. Trey narrowed his eyes at the woman. The affectionate way Viv was looking at him was making him uncomfortable.
No. The only people in this world I trust never to betray me are those you see standing with me here. If any of you take offense to my not welcoming you all into my home with open arms, I don't much care. I'm extremely protective of what's mine, but I won't let Daryl trick me into losing control and attacking him for going after Taryn. You might want to pass that on.
Martin seemed to think on that for a moment, and then nodded.
Going by the fact that you didn't lose control, does this mean you're not as, impulsive as you once were?
Trey had to smile. Impulsive wasn't the right word, but he knew what Martin was getting at. He went with the truth.
No, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means that Taryn keeps me calm.
Why did you do it, Trey?
Trick's dad's tone was soft, not condemning.
Why did you almost kill your father, your Alpha?
Trey simply shrugged, not willing to explain himself to any of them.
Because he deserved it. Deserved it so much that I'd do it again if he was alive.
Oddly, that seemed to be a good enough answer for Michael. Uma, Trick's mom, on the other hand, wasn't so satisfied.
You owe us more than that. You owe us an explanation as to why we missed our son growing up.
Oh, she did not just say that. Without conscious thought, Taryn sprang forward, growling. If Trey hadn't looped one arm around her and pulled her back against him, she would have been on that bitch, who had wisely backed up in a blink.
Trey doesn't owe you anything. In fact, you owe him an explanation. An explanation as to why you didn't give a 14-year-old boy a chance to tell you what his asshole of a dad did. And don't tell me that you weren't aware he'd been an asshole. Didn't it ever occur to you that Trey could have easily finished off the job? He didn't, though, did he? No. But your tiny little brain didn't even consider that. If you missed that time with Trick, it was your own goddamn fault. So if I were you, I'd exercise that right you have to remain silent, or you'll find yourself strung up like a piñata while I beat the freaking shit out of you.
Smiling at the almost feral protectiveness in her manner, Trey kissed his mark and rubbed his cheek against hers. He wasn't the only one smiling. Yes, she had been offensive and threatening, but wolves respected that kind of strength, and no one much liked Uma anyway.
I'm prepared to go to the council and tell them what I overheard Daryl saying, Martin offered.
Trey shook his head.
I'd much rather you didn't.
Why?
Smirks, identical to Trey's, surfaced on the faces of each of his pack. It was Tao who explained.
We deal with things our own way.
Nothing more needed to be said for anybody to understand.
If what you say about being concerned for Taryn's welfare is true, then I thank you for coming.
Understanding that they had been effectively dismissed, the wolves all as one turned and made their way back to their vehicles, with the exception of one female, who began to slowly and cautiously approach Trey.
Who's that?
Asked Taryn in a whisper. He sighed.
Viv. Summer's mom.
Oh.
Well, that would certainly explain the motherly behavior. I'll give you two a few minutes alone. Surprised, he turned her to face him.
Baby, you don't have to do that. There's nothing for me to say to her now that I know Summer was never my mate.
But she doesn't know that, does she? If you don't want to tell her, then don't.
You would be okay with me letting her believe you're not who you are to me?
She sighed. No, I wouldn't like it, but that woman has already been through a lot. She probably sees you as her last link to her daughter. Someone else who saw her in the special way that she did.
But I didn't. Not even when I thought we were mates.
He released a long breath.
I'm going to tell her the truth. It's the right thing to do for everyone.
Dante called.
Trey! Viv's asking to talk to you.
Trey turned his head to see that Tao and Dante stood in front of her, blocking her access to their alpha pair. Taryn nipped his chin. Go on. I'll wait back at Bedrock. I'll have you a coffee waiting on the table. Of course, you understand that Grace will make it, but the thought is all mine. He smiled and bit her lip.
I'll just be a few minutes.
It wasn't until she was heading back through the forest, having rounded up the others like sheep and shoved them ahead of her, including her uncle, Nick and Darren, that he went to where Viv was waiting. He signaled with an incline of his head for Dante and Tao to give them a moment alone.
Thank you for speaking with me, said Viv, swallowing hard. Trey, I'm glad you're happy. I always worried about you, wondered if you would survive the banishment. Your mate is very protective of you. You obviously care for each other. I didn't expect to ever see you imprint.
If he wasn't mistaken, she wasn't happy about it at all, despite what she claimed. It occurred to him that she might feel as though he had betrayed her daughter's memory in some way. Damn, she wasn't going to like what he had to say. He took a deep breath.
We didn't imprint.
Oh, you're not mates?
Oh, we're mates. True mates.
Frowning, Viv shook her head.
No, that can't be. Summer was your true mate.
Viv,
I saw the way she looked up at you that day. So adoringly, so focused on you. She used to cry all the time with those colic pains. But she calmed down as soon as you held her.
And you mistook that for a true mate bond. I'm sorry if that's not what you want to hear, but I'm not going to lie to you.
She shook her head again.
You reacted so badly to her death. What you did, that was grief.
That was me attacking my father for teasing me about her death.
He did that?
Don't kid yourself that I was someone who deserved your daughter and lost control in a moment of despair. That I'm just terribly misunderstood. When I heard she was dead, I felt guilty and angry with myself, but it could never have touched me the way it touched you. We weren't mates, Viv.
The hopeful gleam didn't leave her eyes.
I can't accept that. Maybe once all this is over with Daryl, you could come with me to visit her grave and...
He held up his hand.
Viv, I get that you might wish you could have someone to sit there and grieve with you for your daughter, who saw her as special, and who you can share stories with, but I can't be that someone.
Maybe if I showed you some of her pictures and-
Viv, you're not listening to me.
Because you're wrong.
No, I'm not. Taryn is my true mate.
He didn't like the way she snarled at Taryn's name, nor did his wolf.
Don't you do that. I get that you're upset, but Taryn's my mate, and I won't have you disrespect her in any way, just as you wouldn't with your mate.
The stiffness left her spine, and she sighed.
I'm sorry. That was disrespectful. She seems like quite a character.
She is.
And you're happy with her?
She cares for you. He nodded.
Even though I'm about as emotional as a broomstick, even though I'm not giving her what she needs, she doesn't judge me for being the way I am. She's so different from me, it's not even funny. Taryn's it for me.
Viv's expression softened.
Then I'm happy for you. I won't lie and say I'm glad Summer wasn't your true mate, but that's because I selfishly wish I had some sort of connection left to her.
What you have is what's best for you, and that's what I should be thinking about, not me.
Then you're okay?
She nodded, a half-smile now on her face.
I'm okay.
She bowed her head respectfully.
Take care, Trey. I really am glad you're happy.
With that, she strolled over to the waiting vehicles and hopped into the back seat of one. Then the cars were beeping in goodbye and driving off.
I wouldn't be surprised if at least one of them can't resist taunting Daryl over his failed attack on Taryn, said Dante, as he and Tao came to stand beside Trey. Hearing Taryn wasn't hurt and you're onto his little tricks will make him unbelievably pissed, said Tao.
Trey nodded, sighing.
It's a satisfying thought.
But he couldn't smile about it like Dante and Tao were. Although he was pleased to know that not all of his old pack was against him, the overriding issue for him was that there was still a